are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wednesday night, six games in the association. We're going to talk about those and the All-Star Game proposal on this Wednesday Locked On NBA. I am John Corrales, one of your regular Wednesday hosts of this show. I host Locked On Celtics. You find me on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at @NolaJake.
How are you feeling, Jake? Ready for this big six night? This is a perfect night. Six games.
That's like
perfect.
The right number.
Right? I like it.
Two big national TNT games that were pretty fun, all things
pretty
considered.
Good, yeah.
You get to pay attention to everything. You know, it's like that sampler tray that you get at a restaurant, like a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And it's not too much stuff.
This is like a good buffet. It's like a buffet with lobster tails.
Perfect.
In Vegas. Like, that's the type of...
We still have a Popeye's buffet in Louisiana. It's the only one left in the country.
What?
In Lafayette. Yeah, I know. So
what?
I'm going to go with that one. Yeah, Popeye's buffet.
I'm done talking about basketball. The rest of this podcast is about the Popeye's buffet. All right, next time...
It's an amazing thing.
When COVID is done, I'm coming down there. We're going. In the meantime, let's talk about basketball. And let's start with the best game of the night, I think. Brooklyn Nets 124-120 winners over the LA Clippers. This one was Kyrie Irving just going nuts. 39 points for him, 28 for Durant, 23 for Harden. Big performances on the other side too. 33 for Kawhi Leonard, Paul George 26, Nick Batum 21. Let's go to our local experts. We're going to go to Charles Mockler of Locked On Clippers, but first, Adam Arbrecht of Locked On Nets.
Adam with the Locked On Nets podcast. Coming off a statement loss in a lot of ways, it's a statement win for the Brooklyn Nets. You've got a Kawhi Leonard. We've got a Kevin Durant. You've got a Paul George. We've got a James Harden. Can you rise up against one Kyrie Irving? Does it all tonight. Looks beautiful doing it. The artist with his paintbrush in hand gets the Nets the W. Check out the Lock On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
What is going on, Clippers fans? It is me, Positive Chuck Mockler, one half of the Locked On Clippers hosting duo, coming at you after that difficult 124-120 loss in Brooklyn. It was a big night for Kawhi Leonard. He had 33, 5-5. Paul George added 26. And the Batum battalion can hang their head high as their fearless leader, Nick Batum, added 21 points. This one came down to the wire, which I guess is good to see in a loss. We were without Patrick Beverley, which was difficult. And we just couldn't really contain the big three of Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. There are some interesting tactics put forth by Ty Lue. You know, these losses are going to happen. It wasn't a full-strength Clippers squad. We can hang our hat on the fact that maybe the refs screwed us out of this one. Personally, that's what I'm going to blame this one on for the most part. But hey, it's on to the next one. The Clippers played some pretty wonky basketball, but still held it close to what a lot of people think is going to be a finals favorite.
Jake, for a second there, for a hot second at the beginning of this game, I thought we were going to be able to make the jokes about how the Nets couldn't defend a stick. And like, I was watching some of the Nets fans on Twitter just really have existential crisis at the beginning of this game when the Clippers went out on a big run. But to Brooklyn's credit, they really stepped up. And I can't believe I have to do this. I have to shout out James Harden's defense. He actually stood his ground. And to be fair, the one thing that he is strong. And that's why he's a good post defender. And there was that one possession where Kawhi was trying to back him down late in the game, and he was not moving. So shout out James Harden. He's the one thing he's not going to be is bullied out there.
Like that's the big thing in this game to me was their defense, right? Like they've been horrible on that side of the ball since they've got all three of these guys there. And you've got to wonder at some point if that's going to, you know, do them in. They should have won a game against the Wizards. Like, I'm not worried about the defense there. That was more like mental mistakes kind of on the offensive end. But in a series, say it's in the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals, that might do them in if they just can't get stops. And as you mentioned, looked a little bit rough early on, but then they kind of ratcheted it up when they needed to. And it shows you that they can probably do this in a playoff series. You're not going to see it. Look, let's not pretend their defense was amazing in this game. You know, they still had a defensive rating of 121. It's not good. That puts them in, you know, like
the game of 120 points,
if that's the case. Yeah. Like, so when you look at it like that, they can defend just enough that their offense is so lethal. And like the shot creation on this team, my God, man, like those dudes can get buckets anywhere and hit from anywhere. No one's going to be able to keep up with that fully. They get like one or two, a couple stops here and there. Like they're tough to beat from that aspect. This defense doesn't need to be good. It needs to just be like, okay. And they showed they're capable of actually doing that. That's a big thing for them.
Yeah, and it needs to be timely. And I think one thing here is,
yeah, that's fair.
The Clippers did not do well. The Nets switched a bunch, and the Clippers just did not do well against the switch. And I've seen some people talking about that. It's going to be an issue if the Clippers settle for jumpers. Now, they're settling for jumpers now in February. Are they going to keep settling for jumpers later on in this scenario?
So one of the interesting things with that, though, is like Serge Ibaka had a pretty atrocious game. And if he goes even remote, like 50% on the inside, I think he was 3 of 11 in this game, and like seeing just runners and bunnies, things he'd normally miss. Not having that interior presence, which is probably how you punish the Nets a little bit. You don't want to get into that guard or wing game with them because, frankly, look at who they freaking have on this team. If you can get some easy points inside and soften them up a little bit, you know, this game looks a whole lot different. I don't think the final score was as close, maybe, some as this might quite indicate. You know, it got to weird foul stuff kind of late in the game, which kind of made it be a point win. It's probably a little bit more than that. But if they had gotten a remotely okay game from Serge Ibaka, I wonder how that would have swung things.
Yeah, that's a fair point. All right, let's move on to Toronto and Orlando. Toronto 123-108 winners over the Orlando Magic. The big story here, Fred VanVleet. My God, 54 points on 11 of 14 shooting from three. That's a team record 54 points and one shy of the three-point record. Let's get the local expert reaction. Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic is not happy about this loss, but Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors is thrilled.
Hey, Sean Woodley here from Locked On Raptors to break down the Raptors' 123-108 win over the Orlando Magic on Tuesday night. Yes, it's a nice win for the Raptors. They move to 9-12. That's great. They got their second straight win over Orlando. But really, this is all about Fred VanVleet, who on this night picked up 15 new children in the form of the Orlando Magic with 54 points on 17 of 23 shooting, 11 of 14 from three. Looked for a second like he might beat Klay Thompson's record of 14 threes in a game, had 11 through three quarters. Doesn't get the record, but he does now hold a special place in Raptors history, passing DeMar DeRozan, who had 52 points a few years back against Milwaukee. And it's just a wonderful culmination to an incredible story that is Fred VanVleet's career. An undrafted guy in 2016, he becomes a bit rotation piece, then a huge part of the championship team in 2019, and now he's one of the best players. And in fact, with this win and with this performance for Fred, this kind of feels like him moving into the driver's seat when it comes to Raptors players vying for All-Star spots. You know, they're not very high in the standings. They might only get one spot this year. Kyle Lowry's been in six straight All-Star games. Pascal Siakam was a starter last year. But with the way Fred VanVleet's played and with the wonderful performance tonight, he kind of, I think, moves to the front of the line in terms of Raptors guys deserving of All-Star nods. I'm going to be breaking it all down, how it happened, and what it means for the Raptors going forward here as they try to turn their season around on Locked On Raptors. So please tune in on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, whenever you're available to tune in.
Hello, this is Philip Rossman-Reich, the host of Locked On Magic, here with a quick recap of the Orlando Magic's 123-108 loss to the Toronto Raptors. Frankly, this was an unacceptable defeat. Fred VanVleet scored 54 points, hit 11 three-pointers, but it wasn't just that he was making threes, it was that he was getting wherever he wanted on the floor, and the Magic were literally handing the ball to the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors convert 17 turnovers for 36 points. 17 Magic turnovers for 36 points. This is usually one of the best teams in the league at protecting the ball and not turning it over. And that's why the Raptors won this game. What was a close game? What was a game where the Magic were in the game and playing really well offensively, playing with a lot of spirit, with Evan Fournier, Nikola Vucevic carrying the load, with Cole Anthony playing well, with Chuma Okeke back in the lineup too. The Magic were doing a lot of good things, but they gave the game away. They let the Raptors bully them again. They let the Raptors dictate the tempo again, and they let the Raptors just do whatever they wanted defensively. This is not Orlando Magic basketball, and this effort is plainly unacceptable. We'll have more on this game coming up tonight on Locked On Magic. Be sure to subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Until then, this has been Philip Rossmark. We'll see you next time.
Kyle Lowry, his 15th triple-double as a Raptor on top of everything here. A nice win for the Toronto Raptors, who really need all the nice wins that they can get on this monster Super Bowl road trip that they're on.
Yeah, look, so I had no idea Lowry had a triple-double until I checked the box score. Right? We were like doing our prep work for the show because like the story is Fred VanVleet. There's like nothing else to say. That is an all-time record for points scored for guys who were undrafted.
Yes. Too.
Which, by the way, if you didn't know, and I think everyone wanted you to know, Fred VanVleet was undrafted.
Yeah. Have you heard? It was.
I think he beat out Moses Malone for the record there, which is pretty good company to be in, by the way. But 54 points, dude was just on. Like, this is cool. Like, he's a fun player to watch when he has these moments where he just explodes. Makes you wonder if he had like a new kid or something, because usually it kind of coincides with that,
right?
With him, but like, he's the story. Like, what a freaking night from him.
Yeah, it was an amazing night. And you know what? Here's the thing. They needed the 54 points from him.
Yeah.
Now, it was 123-108, but it was closer. And in fact, it was weird because they pulled guys out with like 12. It was a 12-point game with a couple minutes left. I'm like, have we not watched these endings from the NBA this week? Like 12 points with 2 minutes right. left? That's nothing. But VanVleet was brilliant and really – not just he hit threes in a bunch of different ways. He was catch and shoot. He was pulling up. He was doing the pick and roll, and then he was cutting back door on guys. And that was the big thing, is he found different ways to score. Once those threes started falling in the first half, and they were really up on him, he started to cut back door as they tried to deny, and he was scoring that way. So not just a hot night. 11 of 14 from three is a hot night. But also a smart night from VanVleet, because once he saw the way he was being defended because of the hot shooting, he did other things. And like I said, they needed all of those points to put this game away.
Smart and hot night. I don't know if there's any better combination than those two things.
I love it. All right, let's wrap up this segment with the Indiana Pacers 134-116 win over the Memphis Grizzlies, claiming the NBA belt. My big thing, follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John to understand what the NBA belt is if you didn't. Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis, 32 points. Miles Turner, 22. Brogdon, 23. Big, big nights from the starters across the board for Indiana. Let's get the reaction from the local experts. Sean Coleman of Locked On Grizzlies ready to blow this game off, but Tony East is celebrating it on Locked On Pacers.
Big win for the Indiana Pacers tonight over the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm Tony East, one of the hosts of Locked On Pacers, here to break it all down. Where really, the story of this game for me, the Pacers all-stars, or could be all-stars, putting their stamp on a big win. Malcolm Brogdon scored the ball very well, led the offense very productively, played great defense. Ja Morant was 2-for-10 in this game. And then Domantas Sabonis tied his career high with 32 points, another double-double. He's just been an absolute machine this year. Those two, both trying to make all-star cases, did a fantastic job in this game. And basically everybody stepped up. Jeremy Lamb had a really good game. TJ McConnell continues to put in nice games for the Pacers. Miles Turner had another double-double. The list goes on and on. So after disappointing worst loss of the season for the Pacers over the weekend, blowing a 20-point lead at home, they were able to put together one of their best performances of the season and smash a pretty good Memphis team. So I'll break it all down on the Locked On Pacers podcast. Come check us out.
In the NBA, sometimes you just have to chalk it up to be one of those nights, and that's what it was for the Grizzlies tonight in a 134-116 loss to the Indiana Pacers. They were on their third game and four-night swing on the road after two big effort wins against San Antonio. The Grizzlies, just without, you know, Jaren and Justice and Jonas, the Pacers were a bad matchup, and the Grizzlies just never seemed to have luck in Indiana. So just, yes, a forgettable loss, but if you're going to have these type of losses, this is the night to do it, you know, on the third game of a four-night swing, as well as on the road, as well as against an Eastern Conference team. Get it out of the way, forget about it, refocus with two big division games at home coming up to end the week. A couple of encouraging moments were the play of Dylan Brooks. He certainly seemed to find his stroke again with a very impressive shooting night, and the continued production of Desmond Bain and De'Anthony Melton, showing that the Grizzlies really are starting to gain the backcourt depth that they had certainly hoped would be an advantage for them going forward. Again, 134-116 loss on the Grizzlies' end to the Pacers. Great, you know, effort to the Pacers tonight. Got to give them all the credit for the Grizzlies. Just scrap this one, get refocused, and take advantage of a great opportunity to continue having a successful season with two upcoming division games against Houston and New Orleans.
All right, thanks, guys. We're going to be back after this with the rest of the three games on the schedule, including my Boston Celtics in Golden State. But first, I know we're going to be up late. We're recording this after all of the games. I've got another podcast to do after this, the Locked On Celtics. Jake's done Locked On Pelicans. We're not getting a lot of sleep right now. And I know when I need to get that sleep, I'm going to turn to my friends at CBDMD, because even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our friends at CBDMD have exactly what I and you need to sleep harder than the NBA media. I'm reading their joke. Are sleeping on DeAndre Hunter, because that's
I love this.
And it's a
amazing.
Great joke. CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. If you want to relax a little bit before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience. So, and they're now available actually in the lavender and eucalyptus scents. These are great. As well as soothing nighttime blends with melatonin and calming herbs. This is like perfect after we're done with this podcast. Just go lay in a bath for a while. Perfect. Make it even easier for you to start this year off right. They're offering all of the Locked On NBA listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products at CBDMD. We've got everything NBA covered right here on this podcast, but what about the rest of the sports world? That's why you need Locked On Podcast Network's new show, Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski. It's got all the sports news you need every morning, and here's the best part. It's under 20 minutes. It's super quick. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's move on to the Utah Jazz, just blistering hot Utah Jazz over the Detroit Pistons, who are not blistering hot. 117-105. Donovan Mitchell leading the way, 32 points, 6 rebounds and assist. And the Detroit Pistons, Jeremy Grant had a nice game, 27 points for him. Let's get the Utah Jazz perspective from Locked On Jazz host David Locke.
The Utah Jazz beat the Detroit Pistons, leading for 47 minutes and 32 seconds of this game, a total blowout. Jazz burst out to an 11-point lead in the first half, took it to 20 quickly in the second quarter, and then led by as many as 28 before Detroit came firing back to make it a somewhat nerve-wracking game late. The Jazz became the first team in NBA history to make 15 or more threes in 11 straight games. Bojan Bogdanović with two big dagger corner threes late, but it was Donovan Mitchell's 30-plus point performance and Mike Conley hitting 20 that led the Jazz to a solid win over an inferior Detroit Pistons team. Jazz regained the number one spot in the West. For more on the Jazz, go to Locked On Jazz on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
They just cut out to a big lead, the Utah Jazz, yeah, and just cruised. Like, they were up by as many as 28 in this one, and then they were done. The Pistons made it look a little bit closer than it actually was at halftime, but when you're up 28 and you know you're going to win the game, which Utah did at this point, they were easy. Also, big three-point shooting night yet again from that team. I think they are legit.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. First, the Utah Jazz are the first team in NBA history to make 15 or more threes in 11 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading this, and if you asked me tomorrow who has that record, I'd still say the Golden State Warriors, because this doesn't make sense.
Probably. It's This is not the team you think of when it comes to that, but my God, they are legit. They have shooting everywhere. And the big thing is they can win when Mitchell has a bad game. They did it against the Knicks a week ago, and I thought that was kind of impressive from them. Like, I'm really starting to buy into this team, at least in the regular season. Playoffs going to be a little bit different, but look, Donovan Mitchell will take you far. Getting Bogdanovich back has been really big for them too. Yeah, they're good. And also, Royce O'Neal has been huge all year long.
Yeah, I mean, Royce has been really good for them. And that's the type of player that you need when you're trying to be a contender. Like, we know Donovan Mitchell. We know Rudy Gobert. We know what these guys can do. Mike Conley, Bogdanovich, great, great role players and all of that at this point. But the Royce O'Neal, that fifth guy that comes in, you're like, oh, wow, he's really balling out.
Like, he has moments where he's like grabbing keyboards for him and just steps up in a variety of different ways. It's unbelievable to have.
Defends. I mean, look, 12 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, a block. That's a perfect type of player. And then you bring in Joe Ingles off the bench and Favors off the bench and Clarkson. Clarkson is an unsung hero. Clarkson is the butt of jokes. Like, I think a lot of people, obviously, you look at Clarkson and you say, all right, never met a shot that he doesn't like and all of that. But for this team, it just works for him here. It just works.
Yeah. Off the bench, scoring, like, that's great.
I have been, admittedly, a doubter of the Jazz. And look, Jazz history has shown that there should be doubt. But I'm starting to, like, soften on all of that. So, you know what? This could be that thing. Maybe it just took Mike Conley a year, a season, to kind of get used to everything. Maybe it just took somebody like O'Neal stepping up. Maybe it just took just a little something extra. And look, let's give credit to the coaching staff for turning the style of this team into something that it wasn't before, that wasn't working.
Yeah, I also quickly just want to shout out Rudy Gobert for his total of 9 points, because if I don't mention his name, Jazz fans invade my mentions on Twitter. So you know what? Rudy Gobert shot 2 of 4, 50%. Great job, dude.
Boston
it's
Celtics.
Like not actually sarcastic, yeah, but kind of.
I'm just moving on. Boston Celtics 111-107 over the Golden State Warriors. Usual suspects for the Boston Celtics: Jason Tatum, 27 points. Kemba Walker, not a bad return here. Didn't shoot particularly great, but 19 points for him. 7 rebounds, 5 assists, no turnovers, which is big. 18 points for Jaylen Brown. On the Warrior side, Steph Curry, of course. He looked like he was on his way to a 60-piece early on. But let's get the Warriors' perspective.
He couldn't miss early on.
He could not miss. It was a very scary feeling from the Boston perspective. Let's get the Warriors' side of things from Wes Goldberg and Locked On Warriors.
I'm Wes Goldberg, host of Locked On Warriors, breaking down Golden State's 111-107 loss to the Boston Celtics on Tuesday night. The big story here is Kevon Looney injuring his left ankle in that second quarter. He left at halftime, did not return to the game, and without him, the Warriors are down to exactly 0 healthy centers on this roster. They had already lost James Wiseman a few days ago to a sprained left wrist. They had lost Marquise Chris just a couple of games into the season. So now it's just Draymond Green and Eric Paschal going forward. The Warriors are going to be relying a lot, almost exclusively, on these small ball type of lineups. For more on the Warriors' loss and some options to replace Kevon Looney, go ahead and subscribe to Locked On Warriors wherever you get podcasts.
So yeah, Jake, when Steph Curry came out, like, Brad Stevens before the game said, we cannot go crazy when Steph Curry hits a couple of shots. Like, we can't lose our minds and start running around, because then other guys are going to start hitting shots, and then Curry's going to get a bunch of assists, and then that's going to be a very big problem for us. Just accept that he's going to put you on a highlight and just don't overreact. But what did the Celtics do? They overreacted, like, right away. Curry had 38 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 assists shy of a triple-double. That's the exact type of night that they didn't want. And really, what this boiled down to is losing Looney and going kind of centerless. The Celtics destroyed the Warriors on the boards late, got a ton of offensive rebounds. I think they had 10 in the second half, and gave themselves opportunities. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say the Celtics played particularly great, but what they did was they hustled and they got the 50-50 balls and they got a ton of these offensive rebounds. And Grant Williams was really the big key here with 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 offensive rebounds, 3 of 3, perfect from beyond the arc for Grant Williams. It's huge. That is why the Celtics ended up winning this game.
Yeah, and that's all you need to do, right? Like, this is a pretty shorthanded, at this point in time, Warriors team. And when you looked at that Warriors team in the fourth quarter, like, they just kind of looked sluggish, and the Celtics didn't. And look, there's just kind of more better available players for the Celtics in this one. And losing Looney in that sense kind of hurts them because it just shortens up your rotation. You got to give more minutes to those other guys, and that is not what they want to be doing. Also, shout out Juan Toscano-Anderson, who made some pretty good plays for this team. And I think given the injuries going forward, you're going to see him kind of taking on a larger role in some significant minutes, and kind of dug what he was doing out there, the way he moves, the way he shot the ball too.
Yeah, I shot the ball great. 6 of 9, 3 of 3 from three, 16 points.
Yeah,
it was a nice night for him. But look, I mean, the Warriors are just shorthanded. And when you've got Kelly Oubre making bad decisions left and right, like, it's just, sorry. The Warriors lost by, what, 4, and he was a minus 25 on the night. Just a rough – this is just
a rough
fit for Oubre. It's just not the right place. It's not the right – he's going to be probably the first guy traded once trades start to happen. It's just not working for him. It's not worth it for the Warriors. He's got to go and maybe find a better situation, because this is not going well for him.
Yeah, don't be shocked if you see like a Lonzo Ball for Kelly Oubre switch.
Ooh, juicy. I like there that. You go. Let's end this segment on the Portland Trail Blazers 132-121 winners over the Washington Wizards. Guess who led the Blazers? Damian Lillard with 32 points. Didn't shoot the ball great, but got to the line and had 8 assists. 26 points for Gary Trent Jr. On the other side, Bradley Beal, of course, 37 points on 6 of 12 shooting. Rui Hachimura, 24 points on 10 of 12.
He got help in this game. It was nice to see that for Beal.
How about that? Let's get the Blazers' perspective from Mike Richmond.
What up, world? It's Pass First point guard and Blazer beat writer Mike Richmond coming to you live on Tuesday evening after the Blazers got a big win, 132-121 in Washington over the Wizards. Beating a bad team, maybe the worst team in the Eastern Conference, on the second night of a back-to-back feels more important than it probably should. But after the Blazers had scuffled a little bit on Monday and looked totally outmatched against the Milwaukee Bucks, bouncing back even against a bad team was important. Damian Lillard led the way with 32 points, 6 Blazers in double figures, 3 crossed the 20-point mark, including Carmelo Anthony, who remembered how to put the ball in the basket after a week of maybe looking like he had totally forgot. Blazers improved to 2-2 on this road trip with 2 tough games coming up at Philly and then at Charlotte to close the trip. For more, make sure you check out Locked On Blazers.
All right, that's not much more to say about this. The Washington Wizards are rough. I do want to have one quick tiny discussion on Bradley Beal. Can maybe let's give the Wizards fans a little something. Instead of trying to trade Bradley Beal, let's laud Bradley Beal for being loyal, even in this situation, you know, because we talk about, fans want to talk about the, oh, this guy wants a trade and he's not loyal to this team and blah, blah, blah. And everybody understands if Bradley Beal says, I want out, everybody would get it because the Wizards are the one team.
Yes.
That, right? But.
Oh, what, look, but he doesn't want it, which is kind of weird to me, but like, good for him. When I think there were some rumors coming out that he doesn't want to trade it this time. And look, there's something to be said for that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Like, this team stinks. He gets no help. He finally got some help. 24 from Hachimura. You had 17 from Russell Westbrook and a triple double from him. Not that it matters. And they can't win. Like, at that point, it's you're just not going to win. That this team stinks. And he's going out being the NBA's leading scorer night in, night out, like balling out. You can see the frustration at times for him, yet he's still not saying he's saying he doesn't want to trade. So, look, if he's happy doing this, let him be happy.
Let's, yeah,
and you
let's
guys keep
let
him.
The guy be happy. Let's just
like, if he doesn't want to be traded, I don't think they need to trade him.
No. I mean, it would make sense, but we know why it would make sense, you know, rebuilding and get the picks and blah, 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 blah. But they're going to be bad enough to get their picks anyway. So let's just.
Yeah, it's fine.
If he wants to play there, let him play there. Let's stop trying to trade Bradley Beal.
For like a couple of days. Maybe come like the weekend. I'm going to try and do this again. But yeah, there you go. Until next
tomorrow's show when they figure out like top 10 destinations. All right.
Yeah. Also, shout out Carmelo Anthony, 21 points on the night. I think he did move into 15th place on the NBA's all-time scoring list.
Shout out to him. That's good. I love how he just blew off a Westbrook triple-double. Like, oh yeah, by the way. All right.
So we analyzed it properly.
Yes. We're going to be back. The NBA is trying to put on an actual all-star game. What? We're going to talk about that next. I suppose there will be some betting on that all-star game, but more importantly, there will be betting on the Super Bowl, which is mere days away. So sign up now for your free betonline.ag account. And when you use the promo code Locked On, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So you're going to win a bet before you even place a bet because they're going to give you 50% of your deposit as a bonus. So whatever prop bets you want to bet on during the Super Bowl, I think it's really cool that they have these in-game bets. So if you want to watch a NBA game and at halftime say, all right, here's how the flow is going. Let's look at, oh, this many three-pointers in the third quarter. This many, you know, this guy's going to score this many points in the fourth quarter. You at least give yourself like a little bit of a opportunity there. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Please gamble responsibly. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. March Madness is next month. I can't believe it's already here. To get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. It's a podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Draft guru Chad Ford, you know him. He has his first Big Board of the Year out. He's got profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, all the big names. So subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Jake, the NBA reportedly, according to multiple outlets, is working towards an agreement, a March 7th All-Star game in Atlanta, a single night event with a dunk contest, a skills competition, and the game. I think this is a very stupid idea. What do you think, Jake?
So I know you're strongly against this. I'm vehemently, for the most part, against it, but not probably nearly as strong as you. I don't actually hate this idea. There's some things about it that, like, yes, are going to be a problem and I think are some of the dumbest things they can do, but I get why the league's doing this. And you know what? It's going to have some sort of bubble vibe to it. And that makes me feel a little bit better about it. If they're going to be testing these guys daily and kind of quarantining them in their home markets before they go to Atlanta, or just quarantining them in Atlanta before playing this game, you know what? It's probably safer than what they're doing right now with these guys traveling around the country and all of the other stuff with it. You can pull this off and it will be fine. The thing that worries, let's start there, because that I do have one point that is like freaking me out that I dislike about this, but we could, yeah, your face.
Let me ask you, are you suggesting that the league, by putting on this All-Star game, is doing so to keep closer tabs on its most important players through testing and through everything, and thus ensuring somehow, or more ensuring, that these players are in a safer environment being tested and controlled so they can then turn around and not go on vacation, but turn around and go back to their home markets, versus no All-Star game. These guys go somewhere, go to some country that allows a visit, and they can get COVID there.
So that was a whole lot, man. But that's an unbelievable conspiracy theory about this. Like I kind of dug that. And you know, when you say it like that, let's just have like All-Star weekend every weekend.
Right?
No, I'm not saying they're trying to do that. I think this is a money grab, pure and simple. But most of what the league has been doing is a money grab, pure and simple. And I, you know what? Frankly, like, it's what they got to do. So I get it. And if it's safe, like the bubble was, you know, the bubble was a huge success. This is kind of that. They've announced some of the testing guidelines, some of the protocols. I actually feel okay that you're not going to have this be a big infection thing. I mean, the worst case scenario is someone ends up testing positive, and now all of those players who are the best players in the league need to go through like a 14-day thing. But the worst case is the league will just postpone the season for 14 more days and take a hiatus of 2 weeks till those guys are fine, because you can't have the NBA without it. Like, I just don't see a bad scenario realistically coming out of it. It doesn't mean they should do this. It doesn't mean it's not a money grab. I'm just not like, screw this thing. What the hell are they doing?
Well, I don't know where the money grab is, because I'm reading this ESPN report.
Watching it on TV, right? Like, it's the ratings and the bump maybe that gives you. That's what I would assume. It's the league showing that, hey, things are back to normal. Hey, you in your home markets, the Pelicans have 1,400 fans at games. Go to games, because we're putting on an all-star game. Right. Look at that. And it kind of lends some like credence. It's like when you see world leaders wearing a mask, you're more maybe likely to wear a mask, hypothetically. Yeah. It's kind of like that idea, right? The thing that I really dislike about this ties into what happened the other night in Atlanta with LeBron James and the courtside fans.
Yes.
They have freaking fans courtside there. Like, I don't want to swear on here, but what the fuck? You know, like, no, I mean,
I agree. That's what I think that's an appropriate reaction.
If it was fans in like the bowl and not courtside and, you know, like 30 feet back, like, sure. You know what? Have some people there. They're far enough away. LeBron and that lady and her husband could have conceivably like spit on each other. They didn't end up getting that close, but like, you could have probably made it happen. You can't do that at this. You can do that for those games when it's one team versus another team and they're kind of self-contained units. You cannot do it for an all-star game where that is where you potentially have infection. That's so dumb to me. That's the part that I really hate. But if you eliminate that, you know what? You can sell me on this enough.
I don't know. I just don't like it. I feel like...
And I think that what you're saying, though, of you don't like it, totally fair. Like, I have no issue with that take.
Yeah, I just... They've postponed these games and like regular season games because of contact tracing and all that. And then for them to take everybody to and just add another element, not just them, the staff, the everybody, you're putting everybody at risk for a game that's not necessary. And I understand what they're trying to say. We want to benefit charities. And, you know, I heard some people making the case like, hey, Georgia was very instrumental in a lot of the social change that we wanted, and we want to show them our love. Fine, show your love, not like this. And I don't want to say that in the you can protest, but not like this kind of tone. Like,
no, I get what
please
you're saying.
Be safe and do it next season, or do it some other way, or do it in the off season and put together a charity like Pro-Am or something. Like, do it when vaccines are more readily available. My whole thing here is I just want people to be safe. I don't want anybody to test positive. It's too much too soon. And like, we've got these new strains of COVID that are coming in. These guys aren't inoculated, and it's just too scary to me. I don't want some guy to get it and have his career changed, or worse, get it and spread it to his family, and then his family is impacted. Like, I'm just, from the Celtics perspective,
yeah.
Robert Williams got it, and his daughter got it, and his daughter's mother got it, and Robert Williams' mom got it, and luckily everybody was fine. But like, come on, people, like, let's just, I'm just asking, please, we're almost there.
Right. It feels like we're very close, and this is an unnecessary step. And look, it is unnecessary. So maybe don't do unnecessary things when you're this close to the finish line. Totally get it. No problem with that. Yeah. You know, I can't argue with that. I get why they're doing it. You know, I think it'll actually be safe. And as long as it's safe, it's okay. It's not like this is normal all-star weekend with the parties and all of the stuff that goes on with that.
Right.
So I think they can pull this off. Like, I think that's considerations into it, but no, they don't need to do this, and let's call it what it is. It's a money grab in some form or another.
Right. I think the jump with Rachel Nichols and I forget who they had on there, but it was basically, you know, coach and player are like, yeah, let's do it. And Rachel Nichols is like, are we sure? And that's kind of like the disconnect. Like, and I'm on the Rachel Nichols side, because, but NBA players and coaches, they think differently of this. So we'll see. Wherever you land on this, you land, hopefully, if they do it, and it looks like they're going to do it, they can do it safely. And whatever other developments there are, we'll talk about it here on the Locked On NBA podcast. Whatever day it is, we've got 5 days a week here on Locked On NBA with a nice rotating group of hosts, so please subscribe to that. On Wednesdays, we're your guys. I'm John Corrales. I have the Locked On Celtics podcast. You find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can find me on Twitter at NolaJake.
We've got David Locke and Ben Golliver tomorrow on Thursday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Locked On NBA podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.